This is Digital Story Podcast number 781, March 9th, 2021. Today's theme is a growing interest in fixed lens cameras. I'm Derek Story. Whether it's a super compact Sony RX100, a handsome Canon G5X, or a posh Leica Q2, fixed lens cameras are more and more a part of the conversation among photographers who want to combine imaging power with portability. On today's show, we'll examine some of the thinking behind their popularity, and I have recommendations as well. I hope you enjoy the show. One of the most popular questions during the recent iPhone Pro workshop was inquiries about a great fixed lens camera to complement an advanced smartphone, which itself is a fixed lens device, right? The thinking being, yeah, I really like my iPhone, but I also want an excellent digital camera. And if I don't have to buy a bunch of lenses and accessories, I can spend a bit more on the camera itself. So that's perfectly reasonable thinking. Another viewpoint is, I already have an interchangeable lens system that I like. So I don't plan on starting over. I like what I have, but I would like to add to that a more compact camera for those times I don't want to lug my system around. Yet another common sense approach, right? There's something appealing about a camera that only needs a spare battery as an accessory. It's easy to grab on your way out the door, stash in your jacket pocket, and you call it a day, right? That sounds pretty good to me too. But what do I know? I'm just a nimble photographer. Anyway, there are some great cameras to choose from, and I have five favorite fixed lens models, ranging from most expensive to downright affordable. And I thought, okay, let's get to it. Let's talk about these cameras, and then we'll do a little wrap on that. Okay, here's the first one at the top of the list in terms of how much it costs. The Sony CyberShot DSC RX1R II Mark II at $3,298. Now, that may sound like a lot of money, but if you compare it to the Leica Q2, which is $4,995, it starts to look like more of a bargain. Okay. But I like, of the two, I prefer the Sony, the RX1R. For a couple reasons. First of all, the Sony has a more versatile 35 millimeter Zeiss lens compared to 28 millimeters on the Leica. It has a lower price tag, as I mentioned already. Let's say $1,500, right? By about $1,500. The Sony has a tilting LCD, which the Leica does not. And then on top of all of that, this is a beautiful full-frame 42 megapixel camera that you will use and cherish most likely for years to come. So you have that big full frame sensor. You have a Zeiss lens that's fast. It's a prime lens. And, you know, you have all the features that Sony typically gives you in one of their top of the line cameras. Now think about this camera with, oh, you know, I'm just talking iPhones, but those of you that use Android devices can pick and substitute your favorite Android phone in here. But let's complement that camera with an iPhone 12 Pro. So with the iPhone 12 Pro, you've got two wider lenses, right? You've got the super wide, then you have the normal wide, which is still 23 millimeters. Then you got 35 millimeters on this camera with a full frame sensor, and then you're back, if you have the Pro Max, then you're back to 65 millimeters on your phone. And then you have the combined brain power of a Sony and an Apple device. You know, the iPhone's in your pocket, RX1 is in your jacket pocket, and you are so good to go. So that's, for those that really said, hey, look, you know, normally I would buy a camera, an interchangeable lens camera, and three or four lenses, and the whole thing's going to add up to $5,000. Well, in this case, you buy one camera, and this is what I was talking about earlier. You take all that money, just put it into one fixed lens camera, keep the interchangeable kit that you already have, and then you can spend that money, in this case $3,300, just on the camera. Now, this is the most expensive. We're gonna slide down the price range really quickly here, because the next camera is only I talk about this like it's Monopoly money. It's only $1,400. Okay, so then that thinking becomes, you know, even better. All right, so here's the second one, the Fujifilm X100V. And I really think that if you're going to buy an X100, now you might be tempted to go with an earlier model and save a few dollars. Personally, I wouldn't do that. I would go with the X100V mainly because of its water resistance, you know, its weather resistance, but even more so because of the tilting LCD. You know, you don't get that on the earlier models. And that tilting LCD I use all the time. And so much so now that, and I've mentioned this before, probably many times, you know what I'm going to say. I probably wouldn't go with a camera that doesn't have a tilting LCD right now. Okay. They're that important to me. So for your $1,399, you really get a camera that I think is the closest of any that I shot with to a Leica rangefinder in terms of look and feel and quality of design, but at a price tag that's much more affordable. It also has some unique features. At the top of that list is the hybrid optical viewfinder, then with a little lever that you just switch and it goes into an electronic viewfinder. Think about that for a second. An optical viewfinder that becomes an electronic viewfinder, both are fantastic, and you just move a little switch to go back and forth. Ah, it is just so cool. I am so impressed with that feature. Now, you also have the 35mm f2 lens. It's the equivalent of a 35mm f2 because this is an APS-C sensor. This is not a full-frame sensor. So that, I believe it's a 23mm lens. I'm thinking it becomes a 35mm equivalent f2. You have the tilting LCD, as I mentioned. You have a 26-megapixel APS-C X-Trans CMOS 4 sensor. And you have an impressive work of art that you'll just, like, you'll look at it as much as you take pictures with it. But it takes fantastic pictures as well. So again, it makes a very nice complementary camera to a top-of-the-line smartphone camera. That 35mm f2 lens fits right in there between the lenses that are, in this case, on an iPhone. And yet, you get some features, and I'm going to say at the top of the list with the Fujifilm, that you don't get on the smartphone. The film simulations are at the top of my list that you get with a Fujifilm that you don't get on a smartphone. And they are, whatever film simulations you get on a smartphone, they are not as cool as the ones on the Fuji camera. So that's number two on our list of cool fixed lens cameras that would complement a smartphone very well. Number three, we're going to go back to Sony. And this is a camera that I have to tell you was very popular in the workshop, in the iPhone workshop. The Sony CyberShot DSC RX100 Mark 7, I think we're up to Mark 7 now, for $1,298. $1,298, so still a very reasonable price. If you want a more versatile zoom, and these are the folks that got this camera was because of the zoom. So you get the zoom camera instead of a fixed lens camera. And this zoom is something else. It's a equivalent of 24 at the wide end to 200mm on the telephoto end. So you have that reach for folks that need or want that reach. It's a Zeiss optic, and you still have a maximum aperture of f2.8 at the wide end. You know, you still have a relatively fast lens at the wide end, but yet you get all this reach inside a camera that fits in your jeans pocket, not your jacket pocket, but in your jeans pocket. It's a 20-megapixel, and this is the 1-inch sensor. And I think 1-inch sensors are terrific. I really like them. They give you the versatility that we're talking about with this Zeiss optic, and they still give you very, very, very excellent image quality. So you kind of get both. Now, other things that you have, this camera has a pop-up electronic viewfinder. It has a tilting LCD, has a very good auto-focusing system, and all of this is packed into a very compact package. Like I said, this camera for people that really needed a zoom lens, and so they're doing more like wildlife kind of things, or their travel involves a bit more of nature and stuff. My travel, I do a lot of hiking and so forth, but my travel a lot of times is urban photography. This is more, you know, kind of outdoor nature photography where that zoom comes in really handy. So you take a picture of that woodpecker that you see and things like that. For $1,298, I say that the RX100, the latest version of the RX100, is really a good choice to complement whatever smartphone you have in your pocket. Again, you are traveling light with these devices and you got a lot of muscle. All right, number four on the list. This is a new kit that I think is somewhat recent. It is the Ricoh GR3. Okay, so it's the latest GR with, and the kit is, you get a GW4 wide conversion lens kit. So you get both of these devices, and you know, when we're talking about this lens kit, I mean, it's a lens kit that fits in the coin pouch on your Levi's, right? It is a very small lens, okay? But it really adds some neat functionality, which I'm going to tell you right now. So this Ricoh GR3 kit is $1,149. It is super compact. It is discreet, but it has a lot of punch. It still has an APS-C sensor and a 24 megapixel sensor with a fast f2.8 28 millimeter prime lens with image stabilization. Now, when I was testing this camera, I was doing a lot of urban photography with it in San Francisco, and I was surprised that I would be past dusk. I mean, I'd be in some really low light that I could handhold my exposures with this camera because of the 28 millimeter lens combined with the image stabilization. I was down to like a fourth of a second handheld. I was really impressed, and the images were sharp. So that is pretty cool stuff, I have to say. Now, you don't get the tilting LCD. You don't get the integrated flash, although you do have a hot shoe, which is, you know, that is nice as well. It opens up a whole new set of possibilities. But in the kit, you get this accessory 21 millimeter wide angle lens. So now we're kind of getting close to that world that you get with the iPhones and the ultra wide lens, which anyone who has an ultra wide iPhone will tell you that, most likely they'll tell you, that it blows their mind. And that it is a camera that they use far more than they thought they would. And I think that's the case also, that will be the case also, with this 21 millimeter accessory lens. So you got the 28 millimeter standard lens and the 21 millimeter. And then the Ricoh allows you, and the X100V allows you to do this too, also shoot at 50 millimeter equivalent if you want. And I think they even go up one more notch. I know my X100 goes up to 70 millimeters. I don't like it at 70 millimeters, but I shot with it at 50 millimeters, even though it's a 35 millimeter optical lens, and it was quite good. The Ricoh allows you that as well. But I'm also thinking, well, hey, you also are carrying most likely a smartphone in your pocket that will cover a wider range. Like, for example, if you do have the iPhone 12 Pro, if you have the Pro Max, you also have a 65 millimeter telephoto lens on that optical. So, all right. The thing that people really like about the Ricoh is that it is super compact. It is a front jeans pocket camera. It has excellent image quality, has some really good film simulation. I love the black and white simulation on the GR3. I think it is so good. It shoots excellent, fantastic black and white shots. with that nice big sensor and that image stabilization, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. It is a terrific camera. And I think they've done a really cool thing by, you know, putting together this kit with the 21 millimeter accessory lens. Pretty nice. I'd say that's a pretty sweet package. So that's number four on the list. All right, let's get to the last entry on this list. And this one is $900. And this is a terrific camera. I have also tested it. The Canon PowerShot G5X at $899. This is a handsome little camera. Again, easy jacket pocket camera. Could be front jeans pocket camera, depending on your pockets, right? And it is a great deal. For basically $900, you get another 1-inch sensor, a 20 megapixel 1-inch CMOS sensor, and you get this lovely 24 to 120 millimeter zoom lens, but you get the maximum aperture of f1.8 at the 24 millimeter end. So when you compare this camera to the Sony, right, the RX100, the Sony has a little bit more reach, but the Canon is a little brighter at the wide angle end of the zoom. So, you know, kind of, again, sort of depends on what your needs are. I found that when I was testing this camera that the 120 was fine for me most of the time. I seldom find myself wanting for, you know, more than that. And, you know, 24 to 120, that's a pretty nice range. Again, you get excellent image stabilization. You get the tilting LCD, which I think is very important. You get the pop-up electronic viewfinder. Has in-camera USB charging. It's a handsome, well-made little camera. And it really fits nicely into the budget compared to these other cameras. I mean, if you compare it to, let's say, for example, the X100V, which is $1,400, $900, I mean, that saves you $500. And the Canon is a little bit smaller, and it has image stabilization. So I just think it's a great deal. It's a camera that I think should be talked about a bit more than it is. I was really impressed with it when I tested it. Now, there are other really good contenders that could have been added to this list. I'll give you an example right now. The Panasonic Lumix LX100 II at $797. It's a good little camera. The problem, it didn't make the top five for me. The reason why it didn't make the top five for me is that it has a fixed LCD back. And so for a camera that I'm really going to depend on to be filling a lot of gaps, you know, that for me is a deal breaker. But that may not be an issue for you, and it's a really good camera. So, you know, those are the kind of things that you think about. There are clearly other cameras out there that may fit the bill for you. But I have no problem recommending any of these five cameras that I just talked about. The Sony RX1, R Mark II, Fujifilm X100V, Sony RX100 Mark VII, Ricoh GR3, and the Canon PowerShot G5X. What a great lineup of cameras. I would be happy to have any of them in my jacket pocket when I was out there covering the world with just that camera and my iPhone and really enjoying life. My writing on Medium.com. I haven't mentioned this for a while, and I have been writing regularly. And I don't know if you go over to Medium.com, M-E-D-I-U-M, Medium.com, but it is a terrific place for good writing. There are so many good writers on there covering a wide variety of topics, everything from art to DIY to, in my case, photography, and so much more. A lot of technology is on there. It is just a terrific place. So I've been writing there since last June, I believe. So I have 25 articles on there right now. And the stuff that I write for Medium and the way that I write it is different than where I write anywhere else. I mean, Medium is really my place for me to really focus on both style, you know, the way that I write, and then really think about my topics. So a lot of times, like on a blog, like for Digital Story, I'm dealing more with what's happening right now or something I've just learned or something like that. Whereas my medium topics, I tend to think about them for a week or two before I write the piece. So they're a whole different thing. And if you like that kind of writing, you may want to go over there and take a look at some of the stuff that I've done, in addition to all of the other writers that are there. So all you have to do is either click on the link in the show notes. And by the way, I should mention that all the cameras I talked about in the previous segment, they are all listed in the show notes. They're all listed in the show notes. So you just go to the show notes, click away, and you get exactly where you need to go. But I also have a link for my Medium authors page in the show notes. Or you can just go to medium.com and type Derek Story in the search field. They know who I am, and and my results will come up there as well. But like I said, I just haven't mentioned it for a while, and I'm really enjoying the writing that I'm doing, and I'm getting excellent treatment from Medium and from their editors. They like what I do, and I thought that you may want to just take a wee peek every now and then yourself. The Sennheiser MKE-200 microphone review. So this was on Digital Camera World, and I have a link to the article in the show notes. So you can go over there and read the whole article. They did a nice job on it. But this microphone solves a couple problems. One is it improves your audio for either the video recording that you do with the kind of camera that we were just talking about, right? Your compact digital camera, or any digital camera for that matter, or with your smartphone. It's designed to work with them both. And it has its pros and cons just like everything else, but you know, the pros are pretty good. It instantly upgrades your audio capture quality. It's a battery-free solution, which I tell you, I always worry about batteries in my microphones because I'm afraid they're gonna fail in the middle of an interview or something. And anyway, it causes me a lot of headache. Probably not necessary headache, but I worry about it nonetheless. And it has both smartphone and camera support, and it's $99. So those are all the pros. According to them, the cons are a confusing front to back design, and it doesn't have an on-body gain control. So you have to do the gain control in the device that you're using. Let me read you a little bit about what they have to say. So here's the verdict on it. The Sennheiser MKE-200 is an instant upgrade microphone that will level up your camera or smartphone audio recording. For novices looking to match it up with their mobile, Sennheiser doesn't offer the suite of solutions. Sure does with the pricier MV88, a mount, a mini tripod, and an app to manage the audio recording. What saves the MKE-200, therefore, other than its value, is that it also doubles up as a DSLR or mirrorless camera microphone and works a treat at improving audio capture at a relatively low cost. You know, this is one that I was really tempted to test. When it came out, I kept looking at it. I like it. It looks like, what are those called? You know, the potato spuds? You know what I mean? I know that, oh, tater tot, that's it. It looks like a little tater tot. It's not brown, it's black, but the dimensions of it, it looks like a little tater tot. So I like that really compact size. I do. In fact, here's what they say about it. Compact, the Sennheiser MKE-200 weighs just 48 grams and measures 69 by 60 by 39 millimeters. No batteries required. It's plug and record solution, and it's totally fuss free. There aren't any gain controls on the mic. It's available in black and black alone. And the one visual flourish comes with it in the form of blue coiled cable. So you get blue coiled cables with the black mic. It attaches to a cold shoe adapter, which makes it ideal for DSLRs and mirrorless cameras. Smartphone users will want to pick it up with a phone mount, so factor that into the cost of your microphone setup. Alternatively, you can thread the mic into a tripod so that you have a dual tripod mount. You could also be sorted that way. I think it's interesting when I read other people's writing and not mine. It's harder. Not always. There's some great writers out there. That aside, this is a cool little mic. And as I said, I really wanted to test it. If any of you out there are looking for a relatively affordable audio solution and you give this thing a whirl, please drop me a note and let me know what you think. And then I will share that information with the rest of us. But right now, I have to say, if I were interested in trying out a mic for my mirrorless camera, my DSLR, or even my smartphone, this one would be near the top of my list. Okay, I have a little virtual camera club news. I actually have a few things here that I want to mention. Our EV Explorers group is going really well. And if you are interested in electric vehicles and meshing that together with a photography adventure, we have a group going. We're sharing information. You probably read on Digital Story. I did a test drive of the Volkswagen ID.4 last week and had a really good time. Wrote that up. Other people are sharing their information, like with Chevrolet Bolt, Teslas. Whatever folks are driving right now, sharing some good information. If you like that kind of stuff, you might want to come over to the group and hang out and just listen if you just want to learn. You don't have to write anything up. There are no requirements. You can do that by just clicking on the link in the show notes to take you over there and we'll get you in. And that's called EV Explorers. Good, fun stuff. Also want to mention that we have our upcoming second session of the iPhone Pro Workshop, and that begins on April 21st. And I've been talking about that for a few weeks, and if you want to learn more about that, a great online workshop, runs a month. You can fit it in with whatever work you're doing right now. It has that sort of versatility, and it's a blast. And again, it's where we're working with the iPhone and a digital camera, and really going to town and making, fun images and streamlining our workflow, all that good stuff. So there's a link in the show notes that'll take you over to the catalog page for that. Or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com. Just click on workshops and you'll see it right there. And that is the iPhone Pro Workshop. That starts on April 21st. And it's going to run till May 15th. And it's a good time. I'm telling you, I just came out of the last one and I had so much fun. Also want to mention that we have donation kits for those of you that are interested in donating film cameras that you may have discovered you had stashed in the back of the closet, don't plan on using, but you would like to donate it to me so that I can clean it up, get it working, test it, and then put it in the film camera shop and get it into the hands of aspiring film photographers. There's a lot of folks out there, and nothing is better when you want to get started in film photography than having a reliable camera sent to you when you make your first purchase to get you off to a good start. And that's what we do at the Film Camera Shop. If you're interested in donating a camera, just drop me a note. You can use the contact form at thenimblephotographer.com. Click on contact. And you'll see a little box there. Check donate film camera. Tell me what you have and we'll take it from there. Want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this podcast and support this entire community. They are the folks that make so much of this possible. The pivot this community had to do in the middle of 2020, that pivot in large part was made possible by our Inner Circle members, because they allowed us to say, hey, we can't do things this way anymore. We need to reinvent. That takes some time. We will keep the boat afloat while you reinvent. Just give us something good. I think we are really doing some wonderful things now with the online workshops, and then we're going to have these hybrid physical workshops coming up later this year and into next year. This is the kind of stuff that Inner Circle members make happen. If you want to help support this community, help support this podcast, help keep us moving in the right direction, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Join us. You will get benefits. Believe me, if you participate, if you're someone that wants to participate, you will actually receive more in benefits than you spend on that $5 a month. I promise you, if you want to be active, you will come out ahead on this deal. And at the same time, support this community. our current Inner Circle members, thank you so much for your support. You know I appreciate it. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that make inkjet printing within reach. And I mean that. I mean, so many folks that go, you know, I wouldn't mind making some prints. I like prints. I want to be an artist, right? But I don't really know where to start, you know. And if you go over to that site, and all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you go over to that site and you start reading some of the tutorials and you start reading some of the reviews and you start, you know, gathering this knowledge that they have over there, including helping you make some decisions around which printing paper you might want to use and what you may want to keep in stock, you'll be surprised that you'll go from wanting to make fine art prints to making fine art prints, and that it wasn't painful at all, because knowledge relieves pain, and they are excellent at that. And the paper that they send you is affordable and of the highest quality. I mean, it's just a wonderful combination. I just so appreciate what they do. Again, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, and you can go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our little tour de force of fixed lens cameras. Working on some more great stuff for next week. Until then, be creative, stay safe. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.